201.
They're trying to cover their oranges, if you know what I mean, in Florida. Brr, chilly temperatures killing the crops. In the meantime, is it the final nail in the coffin of Senator Harry Reid based on some comments that he made to two well-known authors, reporters, for a new book out called Game Change? And that's where we start. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Maybe you had a chance to kick back with the family. You actually relaxed. Your hair wasn't on fire and you weren't thinking about politics or how the world was imploding around you. You were kicking back and watching the games in front of you implode, which is pretty much what I had happened to me when I watched the Eagles and the Cowboys. So I was disgusted. I would have watched any trashy television show versus watching my Philadelphia Eagles get dismantled the way they did by the Dallas Cowboys. Of course, we did have a nail the score game. It wasn't that game, thank goodness, but it was the Ravens and the Patriots. I will tell you the Patriots got demolished in their own way. But did anybody nail the score? We'll tell you at the end of the hour. And speaking of demolishing, did Harry Reid do that to himself by his comments? Well, he's got the Democratic Party, his party, defending him. The White House accepted his apology. And if you have no clue what I'm talking about, let me fill you in on what he told some reporters who were doing a they did a book and used 200 sources all along the campaign trail when Obama was running for president. Different things. I mean, that's the name Game Changer. Things that happened with John Edwards and Hillary Clinton. Just a whole thing. Supposedly it's actually well written. I have not read it. It literally just came out and I didn't get a preview copy. But I do know that I know some of what's in the book, and it included this. In a private conversation that's in this book, Reid described Obama during the campaign in 2008 as light-skinned African American, with no Negro dialect unless he wanted to have one. So that was one of the big things that was pulled out. Reid apologized to Obama on Saturday. The president issued a statement accepting the apology and saying the matter was closed, period, end of story. Republicans are all over this, of course, including the National Committee Chair, Michael Steele, who ripped into the DNC chairman's defense, as he called pretty much, and so did other Republicans, on the Nevada Democrat to resign. You know, he's clearly not going to resign. And from what I understand from sources from people around Reid, he feels stronger than ever and feels like he has the president's support and will continue to run because he thinks there's serious business to be done as far as the people of Nevada are concerned as we continue to go into this recession. Because, of course, in his area, in his district, et cetera, or just the whole state, especially when we're talking about Las Vegas, the unemployment rate is so high there. And a lot of it has to do with casino workers and whatnot because less people, obviously, are going to Sin City to gamble money that they don't have for those, even if they get the, you know, hotels comped, whatever. Harry Reid is very low in the polls. He's behind the challenger. He's behind a couple of other people too anyway. But this has become, this became a big part of the Sunday swirl, people reacting to his comments. It's interesting too, because I wonder if this will highlight the word Negro, as many might not realize this, but on the 2010 census, there is a box for that that says Negro, which is a word that many black people say is ridiculous, is outdated, and harkens back to some brutal things. So I think that's also part of Reid's problem, his description, obviously, but he has the backing of the Democrats. He's going to ignore what the Republicans have to say anyway. And what's really interesting, and something I did not realize until I happened to see it on a website, but, you know, you always go back to things that were said in the past in light of the president's decision to forgive Reed his remarks about the skin color and the dialect thing and all that other sort of stuff. But somebody dug this up. Obama took a shot at Trent Lott back in 2002. Obama then was an Illinois senator, and he hosted WVON's Cliff Kelly show, and he challenged the Republican Party to go up against Lott's remarks, to really repudiate Lott's remarks, and to call for his resignation as Senate leader. In fact, directly what he said, the transcript of it is, it seems to be that we can forgive a 100-year-old senator for some of his indiscretion of his youth, but what is more difficult to forgive is the current president of the U.S. Senate, that would be Lott then, suggesting we had been better off if we had followed a segregationist path in this country after all of the battles and fights for civil rights and all the work that we still have to do. And he said specifically the Republican Party itself has to drive out Trent Lott if they have to stand for something. They have to stand up and say, this is not the person we want representing our party. So now with this comment, boy, in this book, Game Change, maybe he's had a lapse in his memory because he's got so much going on, but this would ring true certainly for Senator Harry Reid. Of course, the White House wouldn't want to see that happen because, one, he is a team player. He's a big team player, as he is key on this Senate health care reform. So there was no way Harry Reid, in the eyes of the White House, no matter what the comments were, would go away. So Reid, he looked mortified as he was in front of a microphone somewhere, I saw him, and he looked mortified that he's in this situation, not realizing that this was coming back to bite him. All right, quickly, let's go to James in Connecticut. Hey, James, how are you?
How are you, Kate? Happy New Year. It's good
you
to hear
too.
Your voice again.
Good to hear you as well. What's on your agenda tonight?
Well, I'm happy the Jets won, first of all. But the other thing I want to tell you is, last time I called you about a month or so ago, I told you that the MDA camp that I raised money for had a contribution level of about $1,000. Well, since then, Kate, things have changed a little bit, and we've gotten some press, and I'd like to announce a new total on your show of $3,209.
Wow, $3,209. And that's what you said, like a month, right? A month's time?
Yep, pretty much.
That's terrific. Now, if somebody wants to donate, tell everybody where they need to go.
www.mdactkids.org.
Ctkids.org. And, of course, the goal is to send how many kids to camp?
Well, last year there was no camp because of the swine flu outbreak.
That's right.
So already 20 kids are going, plus with this $3,209, another 4 kids are going. But I want a whole camp full of 70 of them. So
Ooh,
I'm going to need a lot of help.
All right, so James is looking for help, but he is working it big time. James, congratulations. Do we have some applause for James and his efforts? And go to www.mdactkids.org. Happy New Year. What a way to start off for James and those kids. I feel confident he'll reach his goal. Hang with us, everybody.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today.
Wow. I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Certainly feel it all over, the pressure from, I think, people in Nevada, some of the people in Nevada who don't want to see him again become the senator there or stay the senator there, and now these remarks reverberating on him. However, the party is standing by him, which means there's not going to be any movement. There's not going to be any resignation that I can imagine, unless, you know, you get Al Sharpton involved and Jesse Jackson, and who knows, if enough groups complain, maybe something does happen, but I don't think so. Not with the president for giving the remarks. I can't imagine that that is going to be the course of these comments and this book as it goes on in the next week, because we're certainly not done with this story. So I mentioned that on the Sunday Swirl, that was a lot of the conversation. Also, Gitmo continues to be part of the conversation. Of course it does, because of Yemen and what happened with Abdullah Muttalib and freezing any transfers of the terror suspects to Yemen, any going back, and also the idea that Thompson Prison in Illinois, once it gets beefed up, is going to house, you know, 100 to 150 of the terror suspects. But that money hasn't been allotted yet, and then when is it going to be closed, and should it be closed? Still, even that question hangs out there. Remember, the 22nd of January was when it was supposed to, according to the administration, get shut down. But, of course, all the ducks weren't in a row. Not a surprise that that's not happening. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat away from the left side in San Francisco, certainly had her thoughts on what should happen to that little piece of the island in Cuba called Gitmo.
Well, I agree with those that have said that Guantanamo has really been a recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda, that it has not been helpful to us. And I think that, you know, the Senate is now engaged in a huge study on the interrogation and detention of the some 33 high-value detainees. What happened to them? How were they treated? What success did the interrogation have? Were the laws followed? That kind of thing. And we should have the report completed within the next 3 months or so.
All right.
However, the problem is that this is very difficult. And I happen to know the prison system rather well, so I believe the safety of America is assured in the federal prison system. I don't worry about safety.
It sounds to me
like
what
element.
You're saying here, Senator Feinstein, is we ought to be very, very careful about releasing anybody right now. That's
well, I think right
point.
Now, until we sort this out, the answer is yes.
Okay, in the meantime, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, Republican from Michigan, had a little bit of different twist, as you can imagine, on Gitmo and should it be closed.
The core of Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula are people that have been released from Gitmo. Yet in December, the president released more individuals from Gitmo. The president's absolutely right. No one that he's released, do we have indications that they found their way back onto the battlefield? But it takes a while for them to get there. We shouldn't be sending them back to Gitmo. You shouldn't be putting them to Yemen. You shouldn't be putting them into Saudi Arabia. There's talk about this rehab program that they go through in Saudi Arabia. The results have been very, very mixed. You shouldn't be sending them back to Somalia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, because the evidence is clear. These people are released, and a number of them go back onto the battlefield. And again, the clear signal is when these Gitmo detainees find their way back onto the battlefield, they're no longer focused on the conflict in Pakistan, Afghanistan, or Iraq. Just like Alaki, they form the core of people who want to attack the United States. It's a national security, homeland security issue.
All right, so 800-259-5791. If you want to throw in your two about Gitmo again, that's always going to be the conversation, and has been when we talk about the suspects and what to do and are they? Yeah, there's three trains of thought here. One, that it's a hornet's nest for Al Qaeda, that you're just encouraging that because you've got things that are being reported and they're the ultimate martyrs and all that sort of stuff, and they're not being processed, so it's not fair because it's how long have they been sitting there in Guantanamo, and what kind of justice system is that? And then the other thought is, if you send them back out, obviously, what happens? And you just heard that from Hoekstra, they will get back into the same situation and try to do whatever they can, even more so to come out after the West, particularly America. So there are lots of points of view on the whole Guantanamo thing. I'll tell you, to me, even dealing with those that are there right now, the thing that makes me hotter than hot, and I'll tell you what's easy, these politicians can make you feel like you're the smartest person on the face of the earth by the dumb things that continue to happen, that continue to come out of D.C. that you just can't understand. And I think that one of the dumbest things when we talk about transferring anybody from there and where they're going to be and what's going to happen. One, all the conversation about definite dates when there wasn't money in place in the first place, so why even go there? Easy to put that little caveat, which I would have done if I were Obama and this was this thing running. Of course, the Congress has to back me up on this because you have to have the money in place to transfer the terror suspects and the backing of the American people. The public support is definitely not there for that anyway. Then what you do is you have Eric Holder, the Attorney General, who decides, let's have a big trial in New York. In fact, a stone's throw away from where the World Trade Centers came down. Let's do it in a federal court there. And no problem, no worry, because we'll have lockdown. We'll have police everywhere. And we'll have sharpshooters. It's going to be completely safe. No worries with that. And New York plays along until they realize, oh, it's going to cost us over $200 million. We can't afford this. Where are we supposed to get this money from? The feds are going to have to pay for it. So you see, it always comes back to the same thing, too, doesn't it? You trace the money, you follow the money. You want to know who the bad guys are, you try to follow that money line to wherever it leads. So the big answer to the riddle of Gitmo is follow the money trail. That's ultimately what it's about. So you can throw in your two on Gitmo, or is it going to be a real game changer, if you will, for Reed? His comments, his remarks, the I don't believe, you heard what I said, I don't believe it will be. Ultimately, I don't think he gets reelected anyway from that point of view, but I don't see any resignation in his future, particularly with how key he is to health care reform. And then putting somebody else in place, unless you start to have a lot of strong organizations come out and just rail on Reed, where there's no way he cannot back out of this. But with the president accepting the apology, I can't imagine that's what's ultimately going to happen here. It wouldn't add up. I don't think that there'll be a lot of blowback as a result of that. There'll be conversation, but I think it'll be swept away. It's always convenient. If he's our guy, we'll bury it. If he's not our guy, we'll blow it up. And so he's the guy. He's the water boy. I don't see why they push the water boy off the field. So I don't think so. We haven't talked too much lately other than, sadly, some of the casualties in Afghanistan and, of course, what's happening in Iraq and who's left behind, etc., what's going to happen with Pakistan. And now what about dealing with Iran? Somehow that's gotten lost in the sauce. You have General Petraeus, who's the top dog, top military commander, who has talked about the U.S., having a contingency plan for dealing with the nuclear program if diplomacy doesn't work and, of course, the sanctions fail. So what is that? What are you going to do to retaliate against Iran? I mean, you got to think about what you're dealing with in the Middle East. And right now, remember, the whole idea was, all right, it's diplomacy, diplomacy, diplomacy. That's how we're going to reach a deal with Iran. We're going to do whatever we can to allay the suspicions of developing nuclear weapons. And Iran is going to do whatever they can to say we're not doing the nuclear weapons thing, whatever. So now the U.S. is considering more sanctions after they failed to accept that brokered agreement on sending abroad most of their stockpile of low and rich uranium. They're not going to do that. So ultimately, what's the likelihood of a strike on Iran? That's what I want to know. What's the likelihood by Israel? Stay with us.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic, no negative side effects, guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305, or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
This is privacy expert Dr. Catherine Albrecht. We're all creatures of habit, but there are some habits you need to break if you want to hang on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days on StartPage and break the Big Brother habit, just like I did. I switched to StartPage and never looked back. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolite, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolite and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
All right, we've been talking about Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid getting hammered in some corners and defended by many of the Democrats. And in the meantime, there's some other things that happened, not just that, believe it or not, around the nation and around the globe. We're going to jump to all of that in just a minute. But something near and dear to all of us, of course, is what's in your wallet? Are you a little light these days because of a layoff? Somebody loses a job unexpectedly? We see that the mortgage crisis is definitely far from over at this point. And everybody wants to see, that's the thing. Everybody wants the crystal ball. When's the turnaround? What's happening? What happened with the stimulus? How come the stimulus didn't really stimulate anything? So part of the Sunday shows, George Stephanopoulos, who's still hanging around for a little bit on ABC's This Week until ultimately they replace him, he had on Dr. Christina Rahmer, who is the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors, basically top cop when it comes to the economy, or one of the top cops. And she talked about the idea of that not, you know, a lot of people are feel as though, especially when those bonuses were handed out and the big banks had these record profits and people start to read that and they're just livid over that. And she talked about looking at the economy and how far down the road we are from turning things around, basically. And, I mean, she did agree that the big bank bonuses were outrageous and that there had to be rules in place and whatnot. But she stood by the president in saying that there was this overwhelming sense that we need to do more and that they really want to see some progress on jobs. And here's a little slice of that.
What is true is it was somewhat of a setback. We now know in November we actually added some jobs, and in December we lost, as you put, 85,000. You know, I think it is important to put them in context because they are, I think, still part of this overall trend towards greatly moderating job losses. I mean, I'll give you one statistic. In the first quarter of 2009, when we first came in, we were losing on average 691,000 jobs per month. With these new numbers in the fourth quarter, we were losing 69,000 jobs.
That's true.
You will get no argument from me. And when I was just saying, you know, the job losses are moderating, that's still, you know, it's still terrible. We're still losing jobs, and we absolutely have to go from losing any jobs at all to adding them at a robust rate. And you're right. The consequences for families across the country, especially with these long-term unemployment rates, are devastating. That's why the president, I can tell you, from the day he took office, has been saying it's jobs, jobs, jobs.
Blah, 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 blah. You have to go after the bankers. The bottom line is, who you serving here? And that's the thing. I mean, hey, the big banks, they got the lobbyists, etc. I mean, it's almost lame to go down this road when you think of how hoodwinked we've all been. And the bonuses just add to it, to the whole thing. So, you know, the banks pretty much are participating willfully in the sad plight of that many Americans find themselves in. Of course, they don't have the spendable income that they used to have. And as long as there's lobbyists that are there that are pushing for the banks, I mean, they're on a gravy train, and it's a ride that's going to continue, no doubt. Let's go to Mark, who's listening to us in New York. Hello, Mark.
Hi, hon. Really quick, I was doing some stargazing tonight because I think you can see Venus, and I actually saw a low-orbiting satellite, I believe, because it was changing colors. You know why I bring
Sweet.
That up? Because, yeah, I just bring it up because I love looking at the stars, and I hope there's a heaven. I can see my mom, and I can go and get away from this garbage that's on this earth. Because, you know, I called you, and I really ripped into lesbians and all that stuff last week, and I was a little off the chart, but I was just wanting to talk about incompetence.
Right.
And that's what I was trying to get to in this administration. But before anybody says I'm the racist and the homophobe and everything else, let me give you my take on what this thing with Harry Reid. And at the end of the call, I'm going to tell you who's behind it. And this is my opinion only, and I haven't listened to any talk shows because they're all boring me. First of
Go
all,
ahead.
Right, my nieces and nephews are half and half. My sister was married to a black man. Now, that doesn't make me, doesn't mean that I can't be racist. Of course, anybody can be a racist. But if you mess with those kids, I'll kill you. But beyond that, I've heard about how I know about the when the slaves were brought over, how many lives were lost, how horrible and disgusting and what a stain it is on this country. And remember how I told you about that Black Panther that I talked to for a while? Well, this guy, we actually worked together, and his relatives were involved in that Black Panther case in the 70s in New Haven. I believe Hillary Clinton did some law work working with the Black Panthers. They actually killed one of their own, and they thought he was an informant for the white man. And it basically told me that because of slavery, you're never going to be able to absolve what you do, even with the reparations. And the reason I bring that up, and this just ties in with Harry Reid, but just bear with me. I was watching Like It Is, which is a Channel 7 Sunday morning broadcast out of New York City here in New York, and they were showing tapes of Malcolm X. And I haven't had time to read a biography of Malcolm X, but he basically, you know, he was, in his early career, he blamed a white man for everything. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when he went over to the Middle East to practice Islam, he found all races, all creeds, all colors practicing Islam peacefully. And he changed his sort of his anti-white message when he came back, and that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had him killed, because he wasn't towing the race line. So I can say in some respect I admire Malcolm X because that's the little bit of the story that I know. And it brings me to... He was mad at the Americans because Lincoln and the rest of them, they all promised the slaves 40 acres and a mule, which they haven't gotten yet. So So there is this thing. The Seventh Circuit was talking about reparations for slavery. They're actually going to sue shipping companies that own the boats. They're going to sue. They are suing insurance companies that wrote policies on these people, on the black folk. Mm-hmm. So this ties into what I'm talking about. When, like, we had black slaves that were lighter of skin color, they passed for white, so they were let into the house. They were called the house Negroes. And, you know, so I know a little bit about that. And this is what Harry Reid, when he brings up that he doesn't have a Negro dialect, or it's like when Joe Biden said he was clean and articulate, remember?
Yeah.
But Harry Reid got the pass. You know, look, I told a friend who was from Brooklyn long before I knew who Barack Obama was that, he said, who are you going to vote for in the election? I said, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama. I actually said that. But then my gun rights organizations told me about how anti-self-defense he was when he was right in Chicago and in the Chicago State Senate, and that just stopped it for me. So I don't care if he was pink with blue polka dots. I wouldn't vote for the guy. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that about him, and I actually said I would vote for him. Doesn't make me any better of a person. The reason I bring all of this up, the reparations, Malcolm X, you know, the Democrats can say whatever they want, and somehow they stand behind them. Senator Byrd used the term white Negro, and he used the other bad word, the N-word, to describe constituents when they didn't agree with his legislation. Say, and he was in the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan or something, this Senator Byrd. Mm-hmm. The point I'm making up is, you know, there's a double standard here because, you know, they let these guys pass, but Barack Obama did, you just mentioned it, I believe he's a puppet. And they said that this terrorist attack was brought up purposely by the CIA to challenge it. No, I don't even think he knew anything about it. And his response to it is such that they won't let him do anything about it because they'll pull a Kennedy on this guy, God forbid, if he sticks his nose out. So like you said before, blaming the bankers, they're the ones that put him in office and they're the ones that are controlling this guy. I honestly fully believe that. And we will attack Iran when the bankers feel that the oil prices hasn't gone high enough. That's what they'll let happen. So I don't think a lot of this is out of his hand. And having said everything I've said, I said I would tell you who's behind this. This is the Machiavellian person in thinking of me. This is the cynic. This is my opinion. But why did this stuff come out on Harry Reid now when it was said over 2 years ago? Because there's a person in the House of Representatives that is fighting with him when they're trying to reconciliate this health care bill. This is how they deal. Okay, they deal years and years in advance. Nancy Pelosi, I guarantee you, is behind this. Now you say, oh, well, she's a Democrat too. Doesn't make mm-hmm. a difference. Mm-hmm. They think Harry Reid is weak in the Senate and he will not stand up to challenges for filibusters or procedurals in the Senate. I guarantee you her fingerprints are on this because that woman wants to be president and she will steamroll anybody that gets in her way. You saw how Charlie Rangel stepped aside when they mentioned how Barack Obama had broken his promises, and she said, oh, he's broken a lot of promises. Well, of course he has. But she's very devious, and I'm telling you, they had this information, and you know how you keep your enemies closer than your friends? You keep them close to the vest? It comes out. So I got on and on for 3 or 4 minutes already. That woman said, you know what? I want to bury Harry Reid, and I don't know who's going to be the Senate Majority Leader if he should lose election. I don't know what's going to happen. I think Ron Paul's son. Is Ron Paul's son running against Harry?
Ron Paul's son is in Kentucky, is trying to get the Senate seat in Kentucky.
Kentucky, okay, my mistake then. But see, after everything I've said, trying to be a little conciliatory and try to show you I know some history, I think Nancy Pelosi said, let's pull this out because I'm going to stick a shiv in this guy. This is what they do. It's politics as usual. And
I agree.
You know, they're being told what to do, and it's a distraction to what's really happening, how the banks and the wealthy and the elites, without talking about conspiracies, we all know where I'm going to go with that. They're telling this guy what to do. They have him on a leash, which is part of the it's not a pun, and they're saying, you know, you step out of line, sir, and they can create havoc in this country because if he gets a scratch on his freaking fingernail, a lot of the African Americans, or I just say black, that support him will just go nuts. And you have to realize they'll blame it on whites or white supremacists or crap like Bill Clinton did when Oklahoma City came down. It won't be us. It'll be them. As long as he continues to toe the line, they'll let him be.
You know, it's interesting in that perspective, except for that the one thing you have to look into about this is the angle of the book. The book, The Game Changer, really sinks a bunch of people in it. Has some interesting things about the Clintons, about the Edwards of and also about Harry Reid. That's just...
Our economy is in great distress. The financial dominoes can fall at any time. It's time to stop hoping it doesn't happen and prepare just in case it does. You have auto and home insurance. Why wouldn't you have food insurance? Are you prepared to feed your family long term? Because it might take years to recover. As the adult, it's your responsibility to feed your family, especially during rough times. SurvivalistSeeds.com is offering a package that will give you a 3-acre heirloom vegetable garden anywhere. 50 heirloom varieties, 8,000 vegetable seeds, over 5 pounds of healthy food. Don't be fooled by marketing companies disguised as patriots. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me radio show.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our family's health are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
Hand off to Felix Jones, coming right. A big block from Davis. 40-yard line. Felix to the 50. A 10 to the 30. The Jets are out at the 20. At the bay, saying goodnight. 73 yards for Felix Jones. Touchdown.
Out of the shotgun. Here comes the Jet blitz. Palmer throws one down the right sideline. It is intercepted by Darrell Revis. Stays in bounds at the 25-yard line. Running to his right. At the Jet 30. Blockers out in front. He's at the 35. At the 40, and all the way out to the 44-yard line.
Two tight ends, first and 10 Jets. Thomas Jones, play action, rolling to his right. Sanchez pumps one, fires it deep right side, and it's caught by Keller at the 20, down the sideline to the 10, run out of bounds right at the pylon. Is he in? Touchdown! Touchdown, Justin Keller! A 45-yard touchdown pass on the rollout right by Mark Sanchez.
Give to Ray Rice. Big hole across the 20, 25, 30, 40. He might. He's across midfield. He could. Patriot 30. What's that to be? 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Ray Rice. No flags on the play.
What a way to start a football game. Talk about running down their throats right away. 83 yards for the touchdown.
Brady will set shotgun. Kevin Falk in the backfield with him. Brady takes the snap.
Under pressure, Suggs knocks the ball out of his hands, and Suggs has recovered the fumble inside the 17-yard line. Ravens take over in the red zone.
Rackers is ready. Here's the snap. The spot is good. The kick is up. No good! Rackers missed the 34-yard attempt. Huge play for the Cardinal defense, trying to get it for their offense. Shotgun snap, Rodgers dropping back, in trouble. Rodgers hit, ball came out, Cardinals have it, he's going to score!
You gotta love that one. How about those Cardinals over the Packers in overtime? 51-46. Rackers had to be the happiest guy in the house as he missed a kick that could have iced the game for the Cardinals. They might have had a couple of seconds left on the clock for the Packers to get the ball back, but he misses it. And then eventually, of course, it goes into overtime, where he could have won it there. It goes into overtime. And the Cardinals ended up winning this thing. Kurt Warner looked like a world beater. 5 touchdowns, almost 400 yards, and the Packers call it a day. Woo, that's how football works. That was probably the best game on the weekend. Now, the Jets winning with Mark Sanchez, that was exciting, I think. They beat the Bungles 24-14. The Cowboys and the Eagles in that game, the Eagles just were brutal. I mean, they just were brutal. Seemed unprepared again. Of course, this time, ooh, we finally found the blitz. We have the blitz, but of course the Cowboys are so prepared for that. So, in the end, the Cowboys win 34-14.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! And no score in the first quarter. And then in the second quarter, the Cowboys have 27 points to the Eagles 7. You knew that was it after that. There's no way. No way. So it was a snore fest, not a fun game to watch. Now the game, and horrible for me, the game of the week, the Ravens and the Patriots, that was our Nail the Score game. Because remember, we're doing Nail the Score into the postseason. And the final score there was 33-14. 33-14 Ravens. A lot of you picked the Patriots. I picked Baltimore, but I thought it was going to be 27-21. Also, Jose in Kentucky picked Baltimore, but he had 31-28. There were a couple of others that went the Baltimore way. John in Kentucky said 27-24. Dale in Illinois had a low score. Ravens winning. A lot of defense, he thought, there. 10-9. But nobody nailed the score. That's the key. I don't know, Matt, of all the games, I really thought the Eagles were going to lose and would maybe look more respectable than they did in the first game. And it was a boring game. But the Ravens and the Patriots, I don't know that I expected that big of a massacre between these two teams.
Yeah, and the game couldn't start out any better for the Ravens. They got opening 70 or 80-yard run from Ray Rice. Then on the very next offensive series, Tom Brady fumbles the ball. Then after that, I mean, just like turnover city for Tom Brady and the Patriots. It seemed like the Ravens had the ball in the red zone almost the entire game.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. And you know, it's so funny. I love the kid Joe Flacco because he's a Delaware kid, but he doesn't have to do anything. It's just basically handoff, don't make turnovers, make maybe a few short passes here and there. 4-10, 34 yards, no touchdowns.
Yeah, and they just destroyed the Patriots because they have Ray Lewis and Ed Reed on the defense forever. They've been in, I mean, it seems like they've been on the Ravens team
14 years, I
know.
Think. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And they just control that defense. They're still good. And they keep getting more players, like Terrell Suggs, Nata. They get guys out of everywhere. And they just get plays from everyone. And then now they have the three-headed machine and running backs, too, with McGahee, Rice, and McClain.
Yeah.
And they're just unstoppable right now.
Yeah. Yeah, they're unstoppable. They look really, really good in that game. The Cardinals, I thought it was interesting. When Rackers missed that kick, I just was like, wow, I can't believe he missed that kick. You have to be kidding me. And Green Bay, it looked like they have new life. But then in the end, it's what it is. Rodgers, just one misstep. And, of course, it's on a play where he has to make something happen. Those first downs were so crucial. And it's for naught anyway. It doesn't matter. The Cardinals win.
And the play, I think it was the very play before Rodgers fumbled the ball, mm-hmm. he had Jennings wide open downfield.
Oh, I know.
All he had to do was just lob it into him, and he goes off, and I don't know if he was thrown over to Guam or somewhere.
It
I don't know
like
where it was
off
going.
Way off target, yeah.
So bad. So he's that's all like it's that game was, because if Jennings makes that catch,
that's
he's easily in for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And they missed the play, and the very next play he gets sacked, or I don't even know if they ruled an interception or fumble, whatever the case was.
I think.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
he just got creamed, and they run in for the touchdown to
that's
win the
crazy.
Game.
Crazy. Yeah, no kidding. And that was so that was a very crazy end. And then the Jets, and, you know, the Bengals go on the board first. They put up a 7 spot in the first quarter, but the Jets come back with 14 in the second, and they just hang on. Their defense was hanging on. Sanchez made a couple key plays that he needed to make. And they put enough points on the board, and they beat the Bengals, who screwed up badly.
Yeah, and this is one of the many games I got wrong. I got pretty much every game wrong in my playoff pick'em, but I did not see this coming either, because you think the Jets with the rookie quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And they got a decent defense, but they're still kind of figuring things out, not a ton on the front line. And they just dominated the Bengals again. And I just thought, okay, the Bengals took the week off before because they didn't necessarily need to win. And they just got smoked by the Jets in their own house, too.
Yeah.
And Ocho Cinco, where did he go?
I don't know. He flew up. He was on another planet. He just was not there. Awful.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Bengals team didn't look good. It was, I don't know. That was one of the more surprised. The Patriots faltering. And the Bengals faltering.
I think so, too.
Those are the two biggest upsets, because Dallas was a really hot team, so you could kind of see them maybe beating the Eagles. But, I mean, that was a pretty big
score. Pretty big score, yeah.
And then the Packers, I thought for sure they would beat the Cardinals. I don't know. I got everything wrong. So don't follow my advice.
Yeah, nobody nailed the score. You just never know what's going to happen. That's the game of football, especially in the playoffs. The playoffs can really turn on a dime. Momentum swings, a big play, some of the stuff even that Matt was talking about for the Ravens, a big play out of the gate, and you get down, and then it's tough to come back, and, you know, who knows. That's why they always – there's so many cliches in sports, but over the – tons of players I've interviewed and coaches and everything else, they really mean it. I mean, it's 60 minutes, baby, and you got to play the whole game because you just don't know, even if you've pounded a big lead. But in the Cardinals game, that shows you it made a big difference because Green Bay came back, but they didn't win.
Yeah, and that was one of the more surprising things is how in control of the game they were in the first half. And it was probably right around the middle of the third quarter, 10 minutes in the third quarter. That game just completely changed. I was barely paying attention to it, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, my gosh, what's going on here? And all of a sudden the Packers are coming back. They had all the momentum. Talk about lack of defense in that game, too, by the way.
Yeah.
There was just none going on.
No, it was offensive shootout. It was crazy.
There was a record number of points scored in the playoff game, I believe, too. So
it was. It was crazy. I thought it was such a blowout, another boring game. I went and walked the dog, and then I came back, and I couldn't believe, oh, my gosh, we actually have a game. Crazy. Hey, don't forget, we have Nail the Score coming up next Thursday, so we'll do another Nail the Score as the playoffs continue in the NFL, just for fun and to lighten the load. Maybe you'll be our winner.
All right, keep your thunder by your beloved Eagle.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! You can't break Tom Brady's arm.
Oh, yes, I can. No more Super Bowls for that pretty boy.